Good morning. Today's daf in Sota Tetzayin. We're starting Tetzvav Amud Beis. Once again, I want to thank the Massive family from West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. The learning that we're going to do is Lezecher Nishmas Nehemiah Ben Avraham. We are starting today on Tetzayin Amud Beis. Sorry, we're starting on Tetzvav Amud Beis, and we're right towards the bottom of the Amud. Makam Ayosham Amma. And what we're doing is describing the water and the dirt that's going to go into the cup, and it's going to be drunk by the sota. So today's discussion, a lot of today's discussion, in fact, all of today's discussion is going to be the dirt. So where's the dirt accumulated from? So we know already. In other words, the dirt is going to, the kohen is going to take that earthenware cup. It's going to have water already in it. That water is going to be Mayim Chaim, although that was subject to a debate. So, and then he's going to take, he's going to go into the actual Heichal. And he's going to make a right-hand turn. And that was the last thing we learned yesterday, anytime you're going to have, you're forced to make a turn, so you want to go to the right. Anyway, he's going to make a right hand turn. There's going to be a tile over there. All your tiles were made up of marble in the base of Mikdash. There's going to be a tile over there with a ring on it. You pull on the ring, you lift up the tile, and there's dirt right there on the ground. And that's where you're going to get the dirt in order to put on top of the water. With that water and dirt solution, you go back to the soldier. She's going to drink it, but we're not there yet. Right now, all of our day today is going to be focused on that dirt. Before we even begin today's daf, before we begin with the braisa, so let's just get more familiar with the pasuk. V'lakacha kohen. Obviously, this is in Parshas Naso. Obviously, this is regarding the sota. The pasuk reads, V'lakacha kohen mayim kadoshim. So he's going to be taking holy water. So now you already understand, by the way, the holy water. That's a funny term. I know it's gained some popularity recently in other... In other religions, but in our right. Well, first of all, right, correct. We can claim ownership to it. That's number one. Number two, holy water. There's nothing holy about the water. It's the location, obviously. That's holy. So mayim kedoshim bechli cheres, and you put into the kli cheres umin ha'afer asher yieh bekarka, and from the dirt asher yieh bekarka, that's going to be in the ground. I didn't put enough emphasis on the next word. Asher yibe karka mishkan. It's got to be in the ground of the mishkan. Yikach hakohen v'nasan al hamayim. So the kohen is going to take it and put it into the water. Okay, so mayim kedoshim, holy water. Great. And then the Torah goes on to describe the dirt is going to be coming from karka mishkan, the ground of the mishkan. Now, obviously, as when the Torah was written, so there wasn't a base of mikdash, it was a mishkan. But obviously, as the Gemara itself is going to point out, it's effectively the same. And so what you're going to do now is you're going to get ground, dirt, that's actually in the Mishkan itself, or, if we can go forward ahead historically, in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where the dirt is going to be taken from. Now, a lot of emphasis is going to be put on one word, and that is Asher Yihyeh B'Karka HaMishkan, that will be in the Karka HaMishkan. Now, that's a little bit strange, that word, Asher Yihyeh B'Karka HaMishkan. In other words, once there's a Mishkan, so why is it Asher Yihyeh? That will be in the ground of the Mishkan. Meaning that the tense of Yihyeh is a little bit strange. And a lot of the beginning of today's daf is going to be focusing on that. Okay, now that we read the pasuk, now that we're all set, let's go to the Gemara. Let's see all this in the Braisa. Malkum Hayasham Amam. So the Tanur Rabban, the Gemara starts with a Braisa. Umin Afar Asher Yihyeh, Asher Yihyeh. Okay, so from the dirt that will be there, and right away the Braisa picks up on this strange tense. So Yachol Yitakein Mibachutz Viachnis. Look, if I had the pasuk, it sounds like I got to bring dirt in there. Meaning, if we're talking about the dirt that's already there, Asher Haya. What does it mean? Asher Yia. Oh, maybe what the Torah means is that I'm going to bring dirt into the Mishkan. So Tamalamar Bekarka HaMishkan. Oh no. So then I just read on in the pasuk, and the pasuk goes on to read Bekarka Mishkan. It's dirt that's already in the ground. So he Bekarka Mishkan Yachol Yachbor Bekadromis. Okay, so in other words, so maybe what I got to do, a little bit strange, but maybe what I have to do is go into the Mishkan, lift up the tile. Again, in the Mishkan there were no tiles, so I'm a little bit anachronistic, but you understand. Maybe what I got to do is that if there's no dirt readily available, hey, bring in the shovel, start digging. That's a really strange place for excavation, right there in the Mishkan. Let's go start digging. So Tamalam, Asher Yihyeh. No, Asher Yihyeh tells me, no, the dirt doesn't have to have been there historically, as long as it's here. Meaning what I could do is I could put the dirt there. But I already gave away the Braisa solution. Hakeitzan, Yeshamav Havei. So the Bryce's solution is like this. If there's dirt already there, sorry. Yeah. Yesham Havei. If there's dirt that's already there, good, bring that dirt. And Ein Sham, now let's say there's no dirt there. I know that's a little bit strange, by the way, especially if we're talking about the Mishkan, which is in the desert, meaning how could there not be dirt? But it doesn't matter. In other words, what we're doing is we're straddling the difference between the dirt that's Bikarka, that's in the ground, versus Yihyeh. What am I going to do with Yihyeh? So I'll tell you what I do with Yihyeh. Tein Sham, meaning it's perfectly acceptable for you to import dirt. For whatever reason, if you need to bring in dirt, that's fine. Why? Because of the word Yihyeh. That tells me that is even if there's no dirt that's currently there, but I'm bringing in the dirt, as long as you bring in the dirt, that would be fine. Okay, so I kind of takes us to the end of Bryce number one for today. So we know where we're getting the dirt from. Does the dirt have to be indigenous to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash for that matter? No, that's what we just learned together. It doesn't have to be. Now, it's fine if it came from there, that's perfectly fine, right? That's Bekarka Mishkan. But what's also perfectly acceptable is that if I bring dirt into the area, put the dirt down, and now, look at that, we have dirt. Perfect. That would be just as fine as well. Good. That is all Brysa number one. Tanya Yidach. Now we're going to learn a second Brysa. Okay, this second Brysa is going to have three opinions to it, all covering the same exact topic. But as we're going to see together, various other solutions of what to do with the word Yiyah. Umina afra asher Yiyah. So here and now in the second Brysa, Malame Shayyah Mesakein, Mi Bechutsu Machnes. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring outside dirt, we're going to put it down on the ground, and we're going to collect that dirt. So the... here in this, let me first finish. So, fine. So in this Bryce over here, so, right away, the first opinion of the Bryce that tells me that what I can do is I can import dirt. There may be subtle differences between this first opinion of the Bryce and the Bryce that we just learned previously, but in other words, the importation of dirt would be totally fine. So, Bikarka Mishkan. Now, we're looking now at the next words, Bikarka Mishkan. Because remember, the Yiyah comes to tell me that even if the dirt's not currently there, but even if I bring in the dirt, that would be sufficient. But now we also have the words, Bikarka Mishkan, Nisi Ben Yehuda Omer Lahavi Karka, Shilo Novi Givon Abeis Olamim. So according to Isi Ben Yehuda, they're in this Brisa, there are going to be two Isis. So this is Isi Ben Yehuda. So he says, Lahavi. You know what it's coming to include? Future Beis HaMikdash. Future Beis HaMikdash is... Now, let's understand this just a little bit better. In other words, obviously the Torah is describing the Mishkan. Good. We also know that the Mishkan is temporary, and eventually there's going to be a future site of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? If you were in Shul yesterday and you listened to the laning on Achron Shul Pesach, so you kept hearing, right? But Makom Asher, sorry, I'm not going to do a good job quoting the Pasuk, I don't have that in front of me, but Makom Asher Yivchar, right? In the place that will be chosen. There's going to be a Beis Olamim, there's going to be a permanent residence of the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you and I call the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how do I know that the same thing is going to be true by the Beis HaMikdash? Now, the answer could be really simple, and that is the Beis HaMikdash is the Mishkan. Just instead of it being on a temporary basis, it's the permanent basis. It could be that simple. In fact, in just a moment, the Gemara is going to make it that simple. However, according to Isi Ben Yehuda, that's what the Torah is telling me with Asher Yiyah. Asher Yiyah is coming to tell me that not only is this going to be the sequence and the process in which we're going to be getting the dirt by the Mishkan, because remember, the Pasuk by the Sota says, Bikarka HaMishkan. How do I know it's going to be true also by future Beis HaMikdash as well? That is Asher Yiyah. Okay. Now, that's Isi Ben Yehuda. That's what he does with Asher Yiyah. Here it gets a little bit complicated, not terribly, and that is Rashi's very unhappy with the Girsa that we have in our Gemara. Because in our Gemara we say, what is it coming to include? It's coming to include future Beis HaMikdashes, and it counts Shiloh, Nov, Givon, and Beis Olamim. Rashi says, Shiloh you could for sure take out of our Gemara. It doesn't belong, the Girsa of Shiloh doesn't belong in the Gemara. I'll tell you why, says Rashi, because you know what Shiloh is? Shiloh is the Mishkan. In other words, when they went to Teretz Yisrael, so they didn't build the Beis HaMikdash immediately. What they did is they made a makeshift Beis HaMikdash, otherwise known as the Mishkan. They just simply took the Mishkan and relocated to Shiloh. Now, granted, by the way, just truth be told, there was a small 14-year interim period from entering in Teretz Yisrael until the setting up of Shiloh, and they had something in Gilgal, but I'm just going to ignore that. The Gemara also seemed to have ignored that as well. And then they set up Shiloh, but Shiloh is just simply the Mishkan. And by the way, Shiloh was not up for a short amount of time, 369 years. So the Mishkan was sitting in Shiloh. That's called a long time. But Rashi says, I don't need a pasuk for that because that is actually the Mishkan. And then, the Gemara talks about Nov and Givon. Rashi also takes that out of the Gemara. Rashi is of the position that Nov and Givon, they weren't doing the water, the sota process from Nov and Givon. It required a mincha. It doesn't qualify to be brought in Nov and Givon. Tosus disagrees with Rashi. There is a longer rabbit hole to go down over here. I'm just telling you right now, for our purposes right now, if I want to try to keep this as simple as possible, Rashi takes out Shiloh, Rashi takes out Nov, Rashi takes out Givon. Rashi just simply says, focus on the Beis Olamim, otherwise known as the Beis HaMikdash. That is according to Isi ben Yehuda. And then, continuing now in the Braisa, Isi ben Menachem, Omer Einu Tzarech, Isi ben Menachem says to Isi ben Yehuda, I need a drasha for the Beis HaMikdash, that procedurally we're going to do the same thing in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't need a drasha. I knew it already. How do I know it? It's very simple. The Beis HaMikdash is the Mishkan, meaning I understand different buildings, and I understand different stages of Jewish history. I understand that, but it's the same. And consider, I'm sorry, let's do that again. Let me go a little slower. So look, as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, we're looking at the same thing. Meaning, what if you're tummy and you go into the Mishkan? That's a serious offense. It's an Issa Kares. What happens when you do the same thing in the Beis HaMikdash? Same results. Your tummy, go into the Beis HaMikdash. So, in other words, it's an Issa Kares. Same results. By Eish Hashish, which is even stronger. Okay, and just think for a moment what I'm saying. Because going into the Beis HaMikdash while being tummy is an Issa Kares. So what could be stronger than an Issa Kares? Very simple. Death penalty. Capital punishment. In other words, Eish Hashish comes with a capital punishment. So if for an Issa Kares, which is relatively lighter, right? One of the rare times that we're going to call Kares light. So it's relatively lighter and we're on the same grounds. I mean, not physically, but halachically. We're on the same grounds when it comes to the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. So now for Eish Hashish, i.e. Sota, you don't think it's going to be the same? Of course it's going to be the same. So Isi ben Menachem says, the word Yiyah is not coming to foretell about the Beis HaMikdash without any pasuk I would already know. It's going to be the same halacha. Ah, so then what is the Karka Mishkan coming to tell me? Shelo Yavi, mitoch kupasom. What it says is that you're not allowed to bring from your kupa. In other words, you can't bring dirt for the basket, meaning you can't import dirt. The dirt has to come from the ground of the Mishkan. The dirt has to come from the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So that's the opinion of Isi ben Menachem. So here in the Braisa, we have multiple viewpoints of whether the dirt can be imported or not imported. And more specifically, what am I doing with the words Asher Yihyeh? That will be. Okay, good. I kind of takes us to the end of the Braisa. So we've seen not one but two Braisas on the topic of, I know I'm going to be getting dirt from the Mishkan. Can it be imported dirt, yes or no? So the first Braisa says yes and yes, meaning it doesn't have to be, but it can be. And then the second Braisa that we just went through gave us a range of three different opinions on this particular topic, included also with what do I do with the words Asher Yiyah. Ibai Lahu. We're in Tezayin Amud Aleph, and we are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara now treats us to the following question, and that is, Ein Sham Afer, Ma Sheitein Afer. So let's say I don't have dirt. Okay. Now again, by the way, unlikely this will happen. In other words, I'm going into the floor plan of the either Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Chances are you're going to have dirt. Okay. But for a moment now, if we can imagine, for whatever reason, dirt is unattainable. Can we use ashes? Now the interchangeability, my made-up word of the day, of dirt and ashes is a discussed topic in halacha, and notably by the mitzvah of kisu adam. Yeshech's either chayer or oaf, so there's a mitzvah in the Torah to go ahead and to cover the blood. Okay? Bi'afar. The Torah says you have to do it, you have to cover it with dirt. Okay, so in the Parsha of Kisui Adam, which by the way, parenthetically, you're going to be finding in Parshas Achrimos. So in the Parsha of Kisui Adam, so the Torah clearly tells us to cover it with dirt. Can I cover it with ashes as well? What a wonderful question. Machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says you cannot, they're not interchangeable. And Beit Hillel says you can, they are interchangeable. And so now the Gemara is going to ask a really simple question. This position of Beit Hillel, that dirt and ashes is interchangeable, at least as far as the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, can we take that same equation and can we bring it over here to us by Sota? That's the Gemara's question. So Alib de Beit Shammai loti bailak zamer lo matzino way for shikari afar. So the Gemara says, look, for Beit Shammai, they're not interchangeable, and so therefore there's no discussion to be had, and we just go right past the shita of Beit Shammai. Kiti bailak alib de Beit Hillel damer matzino way for shikari afar. So we know that according to Beit Hillel, afar is called afar. So in other words, where do we find that afar is referred to as afar? Meaning, how do I know it's interchangeable? So that's by paraduma. The Torah says, "V'lachula tamei me afar sreifas achatas." What you're going to do is you're going to take for the tamei from the afar, okay? Afar with an ayin. So the Torah describes, "I'm taking the ashes." But you know what's funny? When you read the Torah carefully over there, it doesn't say the word ashes. It says the word dirt. Now, clearly in context, it's referring to ashes. What Beis Hillel will tell you is that, yeah, that's right. Meaning that that ashes and dirt are interchangeable, simply by view of the fact that in the Parsha of the Paraduma, when clearly talking about the ashes, the Torah uses the words dirt. Okay, so they're clearly interchangeable. Oddly enough, by the way, in Paraduma, you know, even though the Torah uses the word afar, you can't use afar for Paraduma, right? It's a little bit funny. The source of Beis Hillel by Paraduma is the one place where they are not interchangeable. But in the very least, however, by virtue of the fact that the Torah goes and shifts from the word Afar to the word Afar, that teaches me in general now that it's interchangeable. And so now that brings Beit Hillel to the conclusion that when in the midst of Kisui Adam, you can go ahead, you could use ashes as well as dirt. So over here, once I know that according to Beit Hillel, it's interchangeable, how about over here by Sota? Maybe it's interchangeable by Sota as well. At first blush, if I didn't know the upcoming Gemara, which I do somewhat, so if I didn't know the upcoming Gemara, I would have said slam dunk. Meaning, if according to Beis Hillel they're interchangeable, and it's just as good one for the other in Kisui Adam, so why wouldn't it be just as good for Sota as well? So the Gemara says, "My Alpha Gav Dikrei Alfar Hacha Bekarka Mishkan Ksiv." Over here, however, I'll tell you why it may be different. Because the Torah not only tells me what I have to use, i.e. dirt, but the Torah also says where to get it from. Bikarka HaMishkan. Therefore, even according to Beis Hillel, who is more expansive and does see them as being interchangeable terms, but over here, once the Torah by Sota says Bikarka HaMishkan, maybe Beis Hillel will tell you that it only, that not in this case. In this case over here, it specifically has to be dirt and not ashes. Oh, Dumai, Bekarka Mishkan, Lechidisi ben Yehuda, Lechidisi ben Menachem, who dasi. Alternatively, Bekarka Mishkan, so that can go back to points that we made earlier in the Brisa. You can go to Isi ben Yehuda's point, you can go to Isi ben Menachem's point, whichever point you prefer, it doesn't matter. In other words, maybe there's other things to do with the word, with the phrase, Bekarka Mishkan, and therefore, if the Torah allows for Afer, the Torah also would allow for Afer as well. So Tashma. So Gemara says good. So now that I firmly know what the question is, so now let's discuss, and this will pretty much take us for the rest of today's daf, and that is, am I allowed to use ashes as opposed to dirt for the sota? Toshma. Damer Rav Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shmuel B'Shosh Mekamos Halacha Ukeves HaMikra. There are three times where the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, what is it going to do? It's going to uproot the Torah. Now, in our Gemara, so you're probably looking at the word Ukeves. Okay, it could be that another Girsa of the Gemara would be Okeres. Whichever girsa you go with, it's the same basic idea. Here you have a pasuk, and the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai says, you see that pasuk over there? Nope. That's not exactly what it means. This is what it means. Good, and we know. In other words, we've been together long enough to know that Torah Shabbat Peh is going to help us explain the Torah. But this is going to be just even like a little step beyond explaining the Torah. In this case over here, reinterpret, meaning it's going to go against the simple pshat of the pasuk. I'll give three examples. So number one, Torah Amra be'afar. And halacha b'chol davar. So number one, the Torah says that you're going to do the mitzvah of kisui adam, and you're going to do it with dirt. Meanwhile, the halacha Moshe Mitzvah tells us b'chol davar. You could do it with anything. Doesn't have to be specifically be dirt. It could be anything that promotes growth. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Torah Amra b'ta'ar. A nazir is not allowed to shave with a razor, and halacha b'chol davar. And the halacha forbids a nazir from shaving with anything. Meaning the prohibition of the nazir is not just to not remove his hair with a razor, but not remove his hair using any other instrument. So, and the Torah Amra sefer, and the Torah says that when you're writing a get, you're going to be writing it on a sefer. Sefer usually means a cloth. And meanwhile, in Masechta Gittin, we're going to learn together, so halacha b'chol davar. The halacha is that you can write a get on any item, on any object. Right, we'll even talk in Masechta Gittin about writing on the horn of an animal. Yeah, debate whether that's okay. But anyway, so what do we have over here? Halacha Moshe Mistina says, you see that word in the Torah? No. And three examples. And so when given three examples, so the Gemara now wants to know, shouldn't we now have a fourth example? In other words, by Sota, the Torah says, Afar, clearly. And meanwhile, if it's true that we also are allowing for Afer as well, so let it make the list. In other words, we have a list of three items. We should have a list of four items. V'im Isa, that's the Gemara's question. Lechshav Nami Hai. So let's consider this as well. Okay, good. So what we have in front of us right now is a proof, but the proof is based on absence. By virtue of the fact that this didn't make the list of the times where the Torah says one thing, and meanwhile the interpretation of the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah allows for expansion and for more. So over here, this would have been a great example. Did it make the list? You know why it didn't make the list? Because it doesn't belong. Why? Because it's offer and it's only offer. That's the Gemara's proof. So it's a ton of Vishaya. So the Gemara now makes an attempt of saying, well, look, the list over here is not exhaustive. Already Tosfos is bothered by the fact that it's a really strange argument to make, which the Gemara is now going to do. We're going to spend 5 good minutes together now trying to argue that the list is not exhaustive, especially when you consider how it opens up. Bishlosha mikomos halacha okeves. 3 times. I don't know. This is Tosfos' point, by the way. This is not an original point at all. I don't know. When the Braisa usually gives you a number, you know why the Braisa gives you a number. Because it's 3 times and only 3 times. But still, what the Gemara is going to try to argue right now is that this is not an exhaustive list. Anyone who's been in the Gemara knows Tanav Ishayer, this argument of it's not an exhaustive list is only going to be good if there are 2 things that are left out. If there's only 1 thing that's left out, you can't make the argument it's not an exhaustive list. So the Gemara's next question, my Shai Da'ai Shai, good. So give me the other thing that was left out. So Shire off Mitzora, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we left out, and that's the Mitzora. Detanya will enter the Brisa of Ayabi Yamashik, Alech is called Sa'arel. So what happens on day 7, he's going to be shaving his body. Now, mind you, by the way, in the Tower of Mitzora, this is the second time that he's shaving his body. Shaves his body on day 1 and shaves it again on day 7. Now, on day 7, the Torah structures the shaving requirement a little bit differently. Consider. So, Vayabi Yamashvi Yigalech is Kol Sa'aro Klal. That's a generality. That's Kol Sa'aro. Then it's Roshav Ezekanov Ezekabos Einav. Then it describes his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. So that's Prat. That's an example. Ves Kol Sa'aro Yigalech, and then shave all your hair. So, Hachazar Uklal. So, Klal or Prat Uklal, Yatadan Elekena Prat. So, what are we looking at over here? The most classic. Klal Uprat Uklal. Structurally over here, it's perfect. It is a generality, specific, followed then by generality. So what you know what to do, klal prado klal. So what you're going to do is you're going to look at the prat, and they're going to be serving as prototypes. In other words, what does the mitzvah have to shave? He has to shave anything that resembles the hair in his head, his beard, his eyebrows. Ma prat meforsh makam kina sayar. 2 characteristics we're going to look at. Number one, accumulation of hair, meaning that we have hair growing over our entire body. We're mammals. Good. That does not require shaving. Where do you need to shave? Only where you have accumulated hair, like the beard, like the eyebrows, like your head. That's number one. That's characteristic number one. And number two, venira. And it has to be an area which is visible. Okay. Let's say, for example, your armpits. Your armpits are accumulated hair. However, as you're standing there with your hands to your side, your arms to your side, they're not visible. Okay. Right now, we're not discussing clothes, unclothed. That's not the consideration over here is that is it normally visible as a person standing? And the answer is no. So, av kol makom kino se'ar v'nira. So you need these two characteristics in order to have the requirement to be shaven off. And that is they have to be accumulated, they have to be readily visible. So ma rabbi, rabbi se'ar raglayim. So it's talking over here about, now se'ar raglayim literally means hair of the legs, but it doesn't mean hair of the legs. The Gemara is speaking over here in a clean language. The Gemara over here is talking about the pubic region. That needs to be shaved as well because that is both accumulated and it's nearer as well. Okay. So the, so my miyet, so miyet, the base of shechet, the kule gufa. And then what gets excluded? Your armpit hair. Because even though it's accumulated area, but it's not readily visible. What about the hair of the rest of your body? It doesn't grow. It's visible, but it's not accumulated. Okay, so, so fine. So that is a klalu protocol of the Mitzvah on shaving on day 7. The Hilchas, good. So now, what did we just learn together? What does the Torah tell us? Now that's a loaded question. What does the Torah tell us? Because without the klalu protocol, I'm not sure what the Torah tells us, but we just learned together klalu protocol. So using the tool of klalu protocol, I'm going to ask the question one more time. What does the Torah tell us? Torah tells us that you have to be shaving not every part of your body, just areas of your body. Again, it's your head, your beard, your eyebrows, then it's going to be the genital area. That's what you need to shave. Min HaTorah. Again, I say min HaTorah, but I mean using klal protocol. That's the pasuk. V'hilchasa megalech kedala'as. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Negayim, 14th parak, tells us that on shaving number one, shaving number two, what you're going to do is you're going to do a complete shaving. Right? Great expression over there. You're going to be shaving kidalas, like a gourd. Okay? In other words, you're going to be clean like a gourd. Every part of your body, external part of your body, is going to be shaven. And that's true for shaving number one. It's also true for shaving number two. So what do we just see together? We have a pasuk and we have the halacha. The pasuk tells us you only have to shave parts of your body. The halacha tells me I got to shave the whole body. So here now, isn't this going to be another example of the pasuk saying one thing and the halacha telling us, steering us in a different direction? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchakika Chashav Halacha Okefes Mikra. Hi, Okefes Midrabanhi. Gemara says, terrible example. It's not a good example. Do you know why this didn't make the list of three? Because this is Midrabanan, it's not Midaraisa. Now, quick clarification over here. When we say Midrabanan, the Gemara does not mean that Klal Protoklal is Midrabanan. It's a tool in terms of how to understand the Torah. Halachas that are derived through any one of the Yud Gimel Midos is a Dinda Araisa. Midrabanan, when the Gemara uses the word Midrabanan over here, it just simply means it's a rabbinic tool. Okay, it does not mean the din is a din de rabbanan. Okay. Right now, I can give you other examples. I'm going to pass on the opportunity to do so, but it just simply means that, look, the list of three things where the halacha is okeres is going on simple pshat in the psukim. Over here, it's not a simple pshat in the pasuk. It's, I got to look at the pasuk. I got to do klal prado klal. I then have to look at the characteristics. I then have to tease out the characteristics. This was not the purpose of the Braisa. The Braisa is telling me when Halacha L'Moshe Misina is going to be changing, the simple reading of the Pasuk. So this doesn't qualify. Okay, so since this doesn't qualify towards the list, what are we left with? We're kind of stuck now. Meaning, we said Tana V'Shaya. Well, there are many things that are left off the list. Yeah? Give me an example. And if this is your best example, it's not that good. Meaning, it's a good example. It just doesn't fit the list. It doesn't match the list. So that's one way that the Gemara just simply pushes off. The Gemara gives a couple of other dechias, a couple of other ways to push it off. Rapap Amar Kika Chashiv Halacha Okeves VeOkeres. So Ha Okeves Amosefesi. So the Gemara says, first of all, the list is talking about those things which not only detour Okeves but Okeres uproot. Meaning, right, of the three things. I'm just going to be setting one example, but we could do it for all three. So the Torah says, you know, when you're covering, you got to cover in dirt. And meanwhile, no, it's not dirt. It's anything that promotes growth. It doesn't just have to be dirt. So in other words, so that is, but over here, meaning I already know I have to shave. It's just a question of what I need to shave. So this is not okeves. It's okay. It is not okeres. It's just simply an expansion. Okay. So that's another dichui. And Rav Ashi Amar, the Gemara gives a third dichui. So Hamasisa Mani Rabbi Yishmael, he, the Darish Kol Prate, the Braisa regarding the Mitzorah, by the second Tikalachis is going like Rabbi Yishmael, who darshins in the manner of Kol Prat. And Kedalas Mani, and that Mishnah in Negaim that we quoted, that Mishnah Negaim is not the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Meaning, I know you quoted Mishnah Negaim. He's not going like Rabbi Yishmael, as we now turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf. And rather, who's it going like Rabbi Akiva? He did Darsh Ribuy Miut. The author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has a different methodology of how to darshan. He doesn't darshan through Kalal Pap, but rather through Ribuy Miut. Okay, now this would be a perfect opportunity for me to highlight the difference between Kalal Pap and Ribuy Miut. However, for today, I'm going to assume the listener knows the basic difference, and on another occasion, another time, I assure, God willing, we're going to come back and do this much better. But anyway, he darshins ribu imiut. The tanya we learned in the brisa. Vayabi amashvi galeches kolsa ro riba sar es roshaviz the kind of as gabosi enough miut and ves kolsa ro galechas over riba riba umiut riba riba kol. So my riba the kule gufa my miut aser shebetocha chotam. When you do ribu imiut as opposed to kol prat, so what happens? Amplification happens. In other words, the ribui is coming to include everything. And the miut only basically takes out a little bit. So over here, the ribui tells me that what do I shave? Shave everything. And everything. And I know the Torah gives examples, but that only carves it out spots. What's the carve out spot when it comes, and over here I'm saying it almost literally. What's the carve out spot when it comes to shaving as a mitzorah? Your tiglach hashnia? The nose hairs. The nose hairs don't need to be shaved. Outside of that, everything else needs to be shaved. So the Mishnah in Negayim, don't give me the Mishnah in Negayim. The Mishnah in Negayim is operating with the thought process of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva darshins, not klalo prop, but rather ribui miut. And that's why the Mishnah in Negayim says, shave him like a melon. In other words, shave the entire body. The Braisa over here that talks about when does the halacha is okir, it undoes. That's going like Rabbi Yishmael, by the way. It quotes Rabbi Yishmael. It's going like Rabbi Yishmael. And as a result of that, it's only going to be focusing on things that where the halacha actually changes. But the author of the Braisa doesn't agree that you shave the Mitzorah in his entirety. So the halacha is not changing the Klal Prat. My Havi Allah, the Gemara says, okay, can we try to arrive at a conclusion over here? So the Gemara says, sure, Tashma Damar Rav Huna Barashi Amarav. Ain sham afer mevi rak buvis yarak. So what do you, if you don't have afer, what can you use? According to this is an amora, it's a memra. So rak buvis yarak, you bring compost. Okay, you bring compost. So umekadesh. Below here, the Gemara says rak buvis yarak hu dahave afer. The Gemara says no, I don't view this as a proof. Meaning we're trying to see whether or not we can use ashes as opposed to dirt for the sota. And the Gemara says, well, I do know that I could use compost. The Gemara says, no. You know what compost is, halachically? Compost is dirt. So, rakvuvi zarekhu da have afar. Efer lo have afar. The Gemara just simply rejects. No, it can't be interchangeable. Meaning, because compost basically is dirt. And we're asking about efer, and efer is not dirt. And the Gemara leaves off the question unresolved. That's a lot, meaning that's an entire, almost the entirety of today's daf, all revolving around the question of whether or not we could use ashes as opposed to dirt for the sota. And we're asking specifically within the Shita of Beis Hillel, who allows for the interchangeability of ashes and dirt. We see that regarding Kisu Adam. Would that be true over here by the sota? The Gemara spent a day, almost a full day, analyzing this question. The Gemara came to no resolution. Okay, we're going to pause over here. The question of the visibility of the dirt in the water. So that's where we're going to open up tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap our day today. Number one, we went over the dirt has to be taken from where? From the Mishkan / from the Beis HaMikdash, from the actual Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's in the Pesukim, but what we did spend a lot of time this morning and the first part of today's daf is just a better understanding of when the Torah says that it should be dirt from the grounds of the Beis HaMikdash. So specifically, Asher Yihyeh B'Karka HaMishkan. So what are we going to do with the words Asher Yihyeh B'Karka HaMishkan? So we saw two brises this morning, a range of three different opinions exactly what that means, Asher Yihyeh B'Karka HaMishkan. Good, that was the first part of today's daf. Anyway, ultimately, the halacha is that the dirt is either going to be discovered in the Mishkan, or what you can actually do is you can import the dirt, put it down on the ground, so to say, almost like sanctify it, and then take the dirt. That's that is where the dirt is coming from. That's the generation of the dirt. Then, for the remainder of today's daf, we entertain basically one question. And that is that instead of dirt, how about ashes? Can I use ashes? And specifically towards Beis Hillel, who allows ashes to replace dirt when it comes to the mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Over here, would that be the same thing as well? Alternatively, no, because as we just learned at the beginning of today's daf, the Torah says that it has to be coming from the Karka HaMishkan. Okay? So maybe not. So that's the question. The Gemara opens the question. The Gemara discusses. And the Gemara left the question unresolved.